One of the items we have is a cabin two roof, which Dave Turley was up during Christmas to redo. What's that?
Barb said she'd get them off the computer if we needed.
Okay.
I don't think we had them on the computer.
Huh?
I don't think we had them on the computer for the
No, whenever Scott made them, printed them out and sent them to
me. I don't think he did. I don't think I...
He was going to, but I haven't seen him, so I don't know if he...
Was that the DM?
He wasn't sure either. Vance, did you find anything sent from Scott Foster?
No, just things about. Well, I have one thing here where he was asking Linda about you and Linda about the agenda, and that was on the 6th of January. Hang on just a second here. Here's some more stuff.
For approval. Whip up something. We got bailed to us. Let's go move on.
Well, we'll have to catch up next meeting on the minutes for all the meetings.
Yeah, I am. I'll keep looking. I'll let you know if I find it. But you just carry on. Don't let me keep you up late.
Okay. I was just saying that Dave Turley was out there with his family and did the roof on cabin two, among other.
Was completed.
Chasing around and chasing animals on motorcycles and whatever else went on, but.
So it is done.
Yeah. I say yes, but I haven't been up there, obviously, in the snow to double check.
I think Jay's been up that door looking for you.
Hang around the Rosie.
She should know. We always have brand new back door.
Well, he went in that door and came out that door, and he came in this door. There's a house of mirrors around here.
I don't know why septic tank pumping is still on here. In fact...
Hank, that's just a cut and paste, you know. Somebody just left it in.
Yeah.
That likes to talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoy septic.
But we don't really need to discuss much there. It was all done and pumped. And did you ever get those test kits for water?
I'm still battling. I'm gonna get another company, or maybe somebody else will have better luck. I'm out $100 and something and. They still haven't sent the kits.
Produced anything?
Yeah, and that's my problem. I'll take care of that. But, you know, I'm going to try somebody else.
Okay.
And it doesn't do any good. I can't get up there now anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we'll skip on down. Ole, do you want to do a little report on the current state of affairs?
Yep. Like. I made door expediting everything today so that we can get home. Dinkins Oil came out. I have that receipt. I forgot to bring that. I talked about wood posts.
I got a letter from.
So Dinkins delivered. What did they deliver? Did you ordered it?
$250
of gas.
Fuel, yeah.
And they just filled the 300
the
standing.
Diesel
and topped off our generator tank.
Okay. And we're measuring and watching the gas to.
What I did is I just put the stick in it. As soon as he delivered it, I waited 3 days and put the stick in it again. Didn't drop any. Then I turned the dial on the shooter all the way to zero, and then I'm just going to not touch it at all until it's down, because with 250 gallons, if it doesn't register something close on the meter to what he put in, then we'll know there's a problem. Because I don't think there's a problem in the tank, because it didn't drop in 3 days.
Right.
So it would have to be in the line. The line is exposed in two places,
yeah.
and the pipe looks old, but I don't, you know. Anyway, that gives us an account of both the line and the tank. That's the best thing.
Start up the line, start throwing matches out.
Harry?
The Ford is working. I got it registered today. We put it on the road two days ago. First time we could get it out of the snow, the tires are so bald it won't go anywhere, so I put the chains for my truck on it, and the chains make it go, but we need to buy a set of chains that'll fit it front and back to make it really go. And I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, but the front tires go just like this in the front, and I don't know, it's just going to make the tires wear on one side. It goes down the road. I drove it here today, but it's not exactly alignable, I don't
think.
That's
just how Fords are.
Well, I wonder if when they smash that front up, that it didn't hit the axle, because wouldn't that mean a bent axle if both the tires, I don't know. But both tires are like that. Have you seen
when,
the front end of it?
When Peebly's.
Oh, yeah.
Peebly's helper or whatever.
Yeah.
Nearly
well,
ran over somebody up on
there. They must have had to run the camera.
Yeah.
Big. Anyway, the front end's like this, and the winch doesn't work, and I told Mike, I said, you know, I'm not sure the wrench wants to mess with pain to make the wrench workable, the winch workable. But I said, I'll ask him about it, because as it is, it's all burned up and busted up. So you'll have to decide how important that is to you. But I didn't, since we were just trying to get it registrable, I didn't include that.
Is there a winch on the red truck?
No. We have one on just the gray truck, but it doesn't work and cable won't.
Back to the gas line being exposed. When we have ice and snow out of the ground, we ought to probably cover that line.
What happened is with those storms, the little stream that comes through between the sheds exposed it in the one spot. And then, what I think I'll do is, I'm glad to know where it is, because I was going to ditch around to make carryoffs from that driveway anyway, and one of them needs to come right in front of those sheds and go around and follow the contour of the corrals to keep that water away from the driveway, and now that I know where it is, I won't hit it with the plow because it's this shallow, and then I dug a post hole that way of the granary and hit right on it again. Luckily, I was digging with a shovel and didn't bother, but I found where the elbow is exactly just by luck. And so now I know where to bring the ditch. But
well, Vance and I, we traced it down one time.
And we kicked the dirt off it. Remember, Brent?
Yeah. It's so shallow. I mean, you could hit it with
redo
a hole.
It.
Dig it up and redo it.
I don't know how long a galvanized line would last with gas anyway. I don't have any idea if that.
Well, you know, we could use something more modern and bury it a little deeper and be a whole lot happier.
How deep is it?
It's
some places.
It's on the surface.
It's on the surface.
You can kick your toe in the dirt to find it.
Yeah.
But you cover it up in a rainstorm.
Where it is a fuel line, it probably is hard to pass the ground deeper. Can't imagine hooking that. Even with the
crust on it. It's hitting the surface first.
Not in the driveway, though, right?
It's
up where you would
well,
be
it crosses at a couple of places. And truly, if you just had your bucket down accidentally with the Kubota, you could bang it if you didn't know where it was.
I think you can shut it off now anyway. When we went up there, you couldn't even shut the gas
no
up.
No valve, it just straightened out of the tank.
It was buried. Oh. I mean, it was just solid. You know, if you had it turned off real quick, you couldn't have done it.
Okay, we're talking about the tank shut off, though, that gasoline isn't continually in the galvanized pipe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, the meter's on right at the end of the line.
Okay. It's probably 250 feet max from the tank down to where you feel
the nozzle and
how long has it been in the ground?
I have no idea.
Is that before you guys or?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was.
That was when Judy and those guys were up there. No.
Could be.
Well, for what it's worth, the piece I kicked the dirt off didn't look too bad for galvanized. And part of that is the reason that your ground is, your dirt's so sandy up there, things don't, it's not very aggressive.
I think it's fine once it's been in.
Well, the pipe that I exposed in both places looked pretty good. I mean, it wasn't falling.
I mean, and it's got a thin film of rust on it, but it's not all pitted.
Right.
What's it doing to the inside of that pipe? What? How does
gasoline shouldn't hurt the inside?
No, in fact, it'll preserve it.
Yeah,
right.
It will.
Okay. It's when there's water in it that you have a problem because gas keeps the inside of the pipe so clean.
So we don't want the gas tank to run dry.
yeah, I unless you know you're going to need it, just turn it off. You know, I mean, that's that valve you're talking about. That's a wise thing to do.
The thing is, if we dig that carry-off ditch, we can throw all the dirt. I can go right along that pipe because it tends to run right where we need to do the ditch and throw all the dirt on it. That'll put a foot and a half over it. It's better than what we got now. Anyway, just thought I should make you aware of that. The windshield on the Ford is broken terribly. I imagine from the ice, because I don't remember it being like that. I knew it had a little crack before, but they passed it for the inspection. But that crack has extended across and then down. They won't inspect it again, but we're good
for a year, and if it were my vehicle, I'd just run with it until it fell in my face or the next inspection came up.
So the cop tells you, happy.
Yeah, and then on the way here, a gravel truck passed and put a chip right dead center, and I thought, well, I'm glad that we didn't fix this with the inspection because he got it again. Anyway, just to be aware, that's there. We need chains and a windshield. I brought that up.
Have there ever been chains out there?
Yes.
You guys know
about
them?
They were for smaller tires.
The problem is that the tires that are on there now, I believe, are 265/16s.
Yep.
And the chain side, the old tires were 235/16s. And the chains we had for the Ford were 235. They'll fit a 235/16.
Maybe better go back to 235 tires.
Yeah. Well, I'm.
Chains are cheaper than the rubber.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
You've got to get new tires, though, you said, too.
Yeah, when we get new tires, if whatever you decide.
Well, the next time that you're down there, Mike, have a look at that and find out whether it's towed out.
Should be able to pull it in its own.
Yeah, so just have a look at it.
I just looked at it on a flat cement about an hour ago. And the backs are in line like this, so I don't know why.
Just ask him what's the purpose of that.
I'm not sure he did it on purpose, but I can sure have him fix it.
Well, I don't want him to fix it. Just ask him what it would take.
Oh.
Just ask him what he would have to do to correct the problem.
Okay. Yeah, it'll just, I know it's going to take the outside edge of those tires way down, just going back and forth between here and there today. I believe we should probably buy licks for the cows, those rubber tub licks. They're the better value as far as quantity and protein, and the Glendale guy, the lamb guy, gets them to us pretty cheap. I bought them for my horses. I bought them for my goats. The cows, I feed them every day, and they were doing pretty good, but this storm just put 2 feet on everything. So they rely solely on whatever we give them now. They don't have any feed to go to, and they do need a protein supplement.
They would hit that ice, too, that you were talking about, huh?
Anyway, all the cows are doing pretty good except one, the one that was the furthest down before we started feeding. I take a bucket of water to her because she just can't quite get back and forth, as well as the other cows, and I feed her separately. But she took a pretty big heavy hit before we got her hay. She just didn't do as well as the others, and she may be one of our older cows. I haven't housed her, and I don't know. But we have one cow in trouble. The others seem to be doing pretty darn good. Trouble is the only water they can get to has to come into the headquarters there to get. We don't have any water lines to go out into the pastures. So I open a gate and bring them through, but then they go up into the barn and rub on the sawmill and crud all over everything. And we don't have any real, all the ponds that collected that water are frozen clear to the ground, so I have to let them in to get water. So it's just kind of a bad deal. We had talked about next year running a line that we can put water into the pasture so that we don't bring them into headquarters. And if we put it in cattle guards, we'll have to do that anyway. But right now it's just kind of a pain because they, you know, hungry cows, they've been into the stackyard a couple of times, just gone right through the gate. I've got it chained double now into the stackyard. But there aren't very many good fences on that place to hold cows when they're hungry. It's harder. But anyway, the current state of affairs is a...
Couldn't water them like you did.
Well, the only thing we could, how much of that collapsible hose can you still find?
I've got that, but there's so many holes in it. It's
right. I've got some more. Let me look in my container. It's going to take me about a 2-hour dig to get into the container because there's so much
snow. Maybe we could just go buy some, some hose or something.
Yeah, I've seen that pipe that he ran down the hill.
Ran it down. We just put it barely under the surface of the road there, you know, because it's frozen and it matter if it doesn't have anything. You ran it through and over and we just watered them there. But then when you turn it off, and I did it at the free hydrant,
it siphons all
the
way down.
Yeah, it siphons right off.
We never had to drain it because it's automatically drained.
Mine is one that somebody ran into, isn't it?
Back,
yeah. Nine has been hit, but it hasn't been broken.
Oh, okay.
It's bent over, but it's still working.
Like
it's not leaking.
We could probably manage that down the hill, but our erosion backed up by about, I don't know how many feet, where that trough was, where that thing came across, is now part of the
road.
Where, I mean, the cows, if they get shoving there, We had two goats go over it in the summer, and maybe we could just take it further back. We can do something there. I hate having them get in that barn because they muscle around that sawmill. And,
well, that's exactly why we didn't come in.
And
always had hay in there, though.
It's hard to get them.
Really fight to get in that barn.
Right now, I just let them through the gate and into the thing and water them and then take them back out. But pretty much right now, by the time I finish doing chores in the morning, it's about the time to do chores in the afternoon, and I don't have a helper anymore. So it's me, and I'm back up also. So it's difficult to leave the ranch. Like tonight, there's nobody there. I'm the chore boy, and I'm away, but there was no way to get around. Anyway, that's the situation with the cows. It's $500 for a ton of that licks. It's the best value for protein I think there is. I've compared it with IFA and everywhere else. He's a private dealer, and it's a good deal.
Now, that's different. That's the tub, the little miniature barrel things. Different than just
they're solid glasses. It's well, and the other thing is in this weather, you throw out a cube, and the moisture takes it from.
Disintegrates.
Yeah, and they can't get to it. And those tubs, you know, they're isolated, and they can lick it from the top, and even if moisture gets in, they just lick it right up with the moisture. And it's good stuff. I mean, I've been using it with the horses, and today was the first time I fed the horses with hay, and they don't look too bad. And I put those protein things out, and they use it. What it does, it supplements the roughage they get from just eating sagebrush and whatever. So I think you should do it, but it's a $500 expenditure, so it's a board question.
$500 for a ton?
Uh-huh. They're 200 pounds a piece? Is that what they are? I bought 2 ton, and they last a long time. I don't think you'll have to buy them again.
They'll eat it up right off the bat, and they'll taper off.
Yeah. With these, it's really hard. They can't chew on it like the blocks. They don't overdo it. They just lick it. And so, I mean, it takes them a long time to get through them.
So what do you think? We need to get a ton of that?
I would, yes.
Coming?
And he just got a
sound reasonable?
Load in. And that'll save a lot on hay because we're going to get this storm has, where before we were feeding just to supplement them. I mean, there was nothing out there, but at least they could get to whatever was on the dirt. But with this, now the tops of the sagebrush is exposed, and so they rely solely on the hay, which is going to push us through our hay faster than we expected. But anyway, those tubs will extend your hay way further than the comparable amount of hay would, and so you're actually saving money by going with the licks.
Okay, so is that something you can take care of and just get with Linda
on? Yes, I sure can.
Okay.
I talked to you about Alan. We got the Kubota out. Taylor had suggested driving it out, and I went to drive it out. I called the guy just to make sure it had fuel in it, and he said, "You can do it. It's your tractor." He says, "I'll just order your new transmission right now." And I said, "Well, we just put a transmission." He says, "Yeah, but you'll be out of one by the time you get out to the ranch." And he says, "You'll also separate your tires on the pavement." And he told me a bunch of horror stories about what I was going to do to the tractor.
Well, a bunch of horse puppies, they told you.
Well, that's what I don't really know, but I know I don't want to be the head that rolls if I screw it up again. I mean, I shouldn't say again. It hasn't functioned since I got to the ranch, but I know that being without a tractor has been very difficult for everybody and everything. So then we talked about hauling it out on the pavement to the dirt and then just driving it on the dirt, but that haul out was more actually than Alan would pay if they were going to haul it out themselves. And so I called Alan Steed and asked him what he would haul it out for, and he said he'd do it for what he did when he used to come out when he was on his way anyway. So he hauled it basically for the cost of the fuel and a little bit of his time, and we got it hauled out for $200.
He's coming out.
Oh, he had to make 2 trips. He went out. Came back to
he had to bring the machinery out.
Yeah, gotcha. But, I mean, he did it super cheap. They wanted
That's
that
great.
Much just to haul it to the end of the pavement, and then we'd have the haul out, then drive in, too.
Right.
So I think it was a good way. He brought it out that afternoon and unloaded it. And Brent's been the one that runs it. How's it go?
Well, you guys got my email.
Yeah.
I'm
I don't know what the smell is. And I, you know, I mean, I've been around, and I can smell good. And it's got a smell to it that's part electrical and part something I don't know.
And I suggest you get hold of Danny instantly and tell him you need to come out to the ranch.
It needs to be, you know, because I smelled it, Meltzer smelled it, Joe McElroy smelled it, and it scared me enough that I mean, of course, I was really babying it just because all the parts were new and everything anyway when I was doing that, trying to get to Beller. But that smell just was, you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, I've never smelled anything like it before. And so anyway, I had those guys come back, and I drove back. They followed me out, and then they headed back to call Alan Steed for Lee. And, I mean, I didn't, of course, I had the chains on, and I couldn't drive that fast anyway. You know, but anyway, I was driving about maybe 4 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour from out there. And
does it have an amp meter on it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was that moving at all?
No, it was charged. It was charging fine. The battery's a little low because it hadn't been run for so long. We had a little bit of trouble starting it, but it stayed rock steady there.
One shift is electrical.
Right.
How big is this Kubota? I've never even seen it.
It's a pretty big machine.
It's a pretty big machine.
Backhoe?
No, it's
bigger than back. You see, I've got an equipment trailer. You just need a panel hook.
Uh-huh.
And you guys are always welcome to use it, you know, to get things in and out or, you know, whatever. So.
Cool. Weight-wise, it's similar to a late model heavy backhoe, but it's a bigger machine, bigger.
It's about 900 horsepower.
Yeah.
When we started it, I remember now when Joe McElroy and Larry Meltzer came with me up there to when it wouldn't work.
Right.
And when Larry Meltzer got in to start it, Joe and I were outside, and when he started it, we saw some sparks.
Right.
Down, something is not quite grounded out on the main battery line. Did you notice that at all?
We noticed that starting it up out there because we kept getting a little bit of a smoke coming off there. But the smell that I had, but we messed around with that and couldn't find a loose connection. I don't know if we got a bad battery cable, but I replaced that one battery cable that we're talking about. And then we had the hydraulic line. It's an auxiliary line, but I stopped just up there right by the turnoffs go into Larry Bear's to readjust the chains and everything, and we're going around readjusting the chains, and I'm looking at the a bunch of hydraulic, and I'm going, where's that coming from? We got a bad hydraulic line that goes to that auxiliary. It's not a big deal. We can pop it off and go into town and have a new one made up, but we just disconnected it. I really don't even know what it goes to. It goes to the front, but, you know, tilt.
Can that leak be putting hydraulic fluid on something hot?
No.
Burning? That's what you're smelling?
No. I would know an oil smell, you know, an oil burning smell. Then the other thing is the PTO runs, and you turn it off, and it still runs. And
sometimes that can be normal. If you put some pressure,
if you put a load on it, maybe it'll go off.
Okay.
That may not be a problem.
Depends on how solid it is. I mean, if it's still engaged, but a lot of times the PTO rotates, and then if you grab it, hold it, it'll quit. But if you can't hold it, then it's still engaged.
Well, I couldn't hold it. So
you tried to hold it with it off.
I tried to hold it with it off, and it wouldn't stop. So, but that, you know, I think Danny needs to come out anyway and take a look at it.
See the 3-point stop. Working either.
Yeah, when Alan brought it, Alan Steed unloaded it from his fifth wheel trailer, you know, comes off and the 3-point was down, and it got pretty close to the dirt because of the angle of the ramps, and so as soon he got it off there, and we put the chains on it right then. In fact, we had to use the tractor to pull the one chain out of the ice. It was buried. But we put that on there, and so it was a whole lot easier to put those chains on by raising the 3-point up because you can move around and get into it a little easier. And I just raised it and came right up. And so then when we were trying to get the PTO to shut off, we were just trying everything we could, and I went, and so I just tried to operate the 3-point and it wouldn't go down. You know,
there's a lock on those. Can be, that might be in. But it should be where you can see it.
Yeah, no, it's
the locks.
I moved those, and you know. Anyway, it wasn't working.
I think you need to get hold of Danny. Sooner the better.
It's a lot cheaper to have him come out and take it back.
No, I mean it's his buck. I think.
Right.
To get it going. He's had it for.
Well, he had it and fixed it, and then Larry looked and said, "Well, it's still not right," so he kept it and fixed it.
Well, we can get a hold of him. We'll get a hold of him next week. But I don't,
Can you, since you're the one that was operating it and smelled it and can kind of coordinate with him and
yeah.
call him and do
yeah.
that?
You got the sniff smell on it.
It's a weird smell. I mean, it's really weird. Like I say, it's
how
like I said in the email.
How long do we have to run it to smell it?
Hey, Brent.
Yeah.
Is it there all the time or does it come and go?
It comes and goes.
Okay. Too bad. Have you ever smelled biodiesel when it burns?
Yes.
Okay, it's not that.
No.
Okay.
No, it was.
That's a real interesting smell.
It was a very difficult. Like I say, it was somewhere between electrical and my cooking.
Well, the cooking part of it, you know, sent me down the biodiesel path, if some happened to get into it.
So, but it was very frustrating because it comes and goes.
That's it from me. My shower's frozen, but there's nothing anybody can do about that. Just.
The shower's frozen.
Drain.
The drain or the water?
The water.
In the house? In the ranch house? Oh, really?
That's on an inside wall, too.
Yeah.
I keep it warm in there all the time, but it's cold water runs, hot water doesn't.
Is it the water heater?
It's plugged off again, the hot water heater.
Or is the hot water working in the sink, the kitchen sink?
The kitchen sink, yeah.
You got a regular hot water heater in there now, don't you?
No. I read the other one
on demand.
There was a chunk of stuff like rock in the output in that. I ice picked through it and got it flowing. You know, I should check that again, but I can't imagine in 2 weeks it'd be filled with rocks again. I'll try that again, but no. Before, when that was a problem, it dripped a little. It doesn't even hiss air. It just. I think it's frozen. Today is the first time.
See, that's the on-demand water heater's version of a kidney stone.
Oh, no.
I know exactly where to check because it's in the spot where it catches, but if that's not it, I don't know what to do. I've been under that house, and that line is in the most precarious spot in the whole world because you can't get to it from under the cellar, and you can't get to it from the crawl space. It's in the. They've drilled a hole through the deal, so... short of tearing a wall out, we can't.
Yeah, there's several of us who crawled under there.
It's a creepy spot to crawl.
Well, somebody could fire up a generator and try hooking up the mystery load. I bet that would thaw it out.
Well, they used to have that.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, well, we think that's what the mystery load is.
Where was it unplugged from?
Oh, it was hardwired.
Dan, we
took it.
Has it still got the tape on it?
Yeah, the tape's still on it.
So. Do you have the plug to plug?
No, there's no plugging. We got to go hardwired again.
He cut the plug off and wired it in.
Yeah.
All right.
Well. But you'll need to. It'll kill your solar in a big hurry though. Again, like it was. Remember,
my solar only lasts for about 15 minutes anyway, so that's not that big a deal.
Well, that's what I say. Just turn it off a generator.
My stuff before it goes off.
Use the generator.
Yeah.
The generator has to be 40 degrees, or to start it. You can't start it when it's 30 degrees.
Well, how about that? You guys got any portables up there now?
And then I started with the truck to get it going.
The batteries.
I brought a nice new battery down there, and then this kidney stone thing started up, and I just didn't get down there. But there's a very nice, fully charged 8D battery that I was going to take out there and stick on there, and that 8D battery will crank that baby anytime.
Maybe Ollie can do it. That should work.
Yeah, if I had it. The battery does look old, but the
I just popped
the truck and put jumper cables on it, and as long as it's above freezing, about 35, I've started it before, but I check the thermometer in the truck. I wait till the end of the day when the sun's the hottest and then fire it. But if it's
under 32 degrees. I mean, I've been out there for an hour and a half, and it just won't go.
That battery's probably shot, because I cannot remember replacing that thing. I'm sure it's still.
I actually think it's kind of a small battery for that generator anyway.
It's just dead cold weather. Yeah. I went walked out there when it was so freezing cold, it had to be close to zero, and it would start. So
could be the battery.
Capacity.
Yeah. I never use it.
Batteries don't like cold.
Maybe the glow plugs are not working right on either.
Well, since they've hopefully got Lee rescue accomplished.
Did you see Lee or Alan?
Neither one. I told him I'd have to leave before he was done. But I, like I told Larry, I know Alan won't leave till he's out. That's just how Alan
yeah.
is. So
maybe Alan's stuck.
I'm sure they're fine.
Well, he'll be spending the night with Lee.
Pretty scary.
That'll encourage him to get it done.
Yeah, trust me, I'll be out there with a shovel all night.
Hey, Larry.
Yes, sir.
I didn't find meeting minutes, but I do have the audio on the website has all the topics, which is damn close to the minutes. I can read those to you.
I really think, just for time's sake, let's not even bother with it.
Okay, fair enough.
A copy where everybody can review
it. You've covered a bunch of it already anyhow, so.
Yeah. Thanks, Vance.
Yeah, no sweat.
Okay. If you can show him what wires were undone for that heat tape,
I can do
maybe that. Maybe that'll solve the problem. Maybe not.
I can do that. We'll check the monitor. I didn't think about that, but it was pretty well off. It wasn't even making a noise. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Check that water heater. But I mean, if you got hot water in the kitchen sink, you should have hot water in the shower.
No.
Well, I don't know, because the it goes down into the. Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. The other line that comes, and that's the one that was giving us trouble before. So.
All right.
See. Okay, Linda, do you want to run through a financial report?
I gave you all.
Hold on for a minute, we've got Oli.
Okay.
Did everything get winterized up there? Did all the cabins get done? Are they all
everything
done?
But 7 and 8, and we kept the garden cabin open for a could-be, didn't-happen Christmas, whatever that was.
Yeah, and we ended up
And I go over and flush the toilets on the garden cabin and turn the showers on and off, and it's still running. We have just the little propane heaters warming it, but I'll shut that down anytime I say.
Well, yeah, it should have been done. It should have been shut down. That's why I told people they couldn't come out.
It's easy to do. It's the easiest one to shut down.
7-8 should be.
Yeah, they can be too. You don't have anybody coming up in February, so in between people, they need to be winterized.
The Army, even if it's going to be for 4 or 5 days, we easily winterize them.
When do we have anybody coming in at all?
Not until March.
So
let's just turn them off. Then I was told to keep them open all winter. Just 7 and 8.
Well, open to be able to use, but we'd have to dewinterize them for people to come in. And when people were wanting to do it, I would try and stack them up so that we didn't have much time in between them. But last winter, we winterized every.
So you put the antifreeze and everything in between and then flush it out when they come and put it back in. Just
yep.
Open them up. So, yeah.
Put the air compressor on.
They're still.
All you got to do is basically go outside, turn the.
Oh, I know how to turn them off. I'm just saying you crank them all the way up and take them all the way down in between people.
Yep. Yeah.
Otherwise.
Do we have enough antifreeze? Have we still got a supply?
It doesn't take that much. You know,
just takes about a gallon per cabin.
Right.
Do all the drains peep out.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem.
7 and 8 in the garden cabin are going to get winterized then?
Yep.
Okay.
7 and 8 might be froze up.
Shut them down, see what happens.
It's cheaper to winterize than to run the propane to keep them
warm.
Yeah.
So 7, 8 in garden cabin.
Well, I wanted to find out about this inventory. On the list, and so while we have Ole here, let's just go through that now.
Yeah, where did I put my copy?
Yeah, what copy that?
Oh, that's yours. That's your
well,
this fall.
fall closing of cabins, spring opening of cabins inventory.
That's the one I made up.
This is the most current one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is the one that you gave me that book. It's a
right.
Tools and equipment.
That somebody has.
Okay,
equipment.
So you need to copy them. Do you want me to
read that one?
And this is one you made up, right?
No, this is the one that was there. I just added the things that we have got since I got there.
There's some things on here that have been out there. The chainsaws. Well, the first one would be the riding mop.
Still there.
Still there.
I don't know.
You hotwire it?
I don't hotwire on more.
Well, actually what happened is we pulled the key out of it, and I can't remember who actually took the key out, and they said, we're going to stick it right here and hide it.
Forgot where we hid it.
No one can remember where it is, but it was functioning and was working fine before.
Yeah, it hasn't been moved, so if it worked when they turned it off, it should work now.
Yeah.
We got a new chainsaw. We still have that Husqvarna there.
Who made this one?
Okay, so we have the Husqvarna, right? Uh-huh. And then the new steel chainsaw we've got.
Right.
Okay. And are those working okay?
The new one, we used the Husqvarna a couple of times, but it didn't have a lot of problems. I don't really run it after that. We ran it a little bit for women's room earlier this year, but I run the steel because I know how to operate and maintain them and clean them up.
Okay, so we got the Husqvarna, the steel, and the Pullman, right?
We have a Pullman. I don't know where that.
Real old one.
Oh yeah, we do. It's in the tool room.
I mean, to me, it's garbage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I thought it was like art.
Art. Not like decorative stuff.
I was gonna make a lampshade out or a lamp out of it or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's not that.
I've got a question. Who made up this list, Ollie? I thought this was your inventory list.
Not mine. It was the one that was on the shelf when I got
it. Why did you bring it to us and say this is our inventory list?
It's an inventory list.
You said that you made up an inventory list, so you wanted to make sure that we knew what was up there.
No, I said I would like for somebody who knows what's up there or that is not me to make it, because I don't want somebody saying this should have been there and this shouldn't. I'd like one to exist before I add the things we've got, because I know exactly what we've got since I came there. But as before I got there, if something came or went with your last managers, I don't want it to be attached to my shift. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think for me to make an inventory and then someone say, well, it was there when the Peebles left or whatever. I would much rather somebody else did that so that they can say this is what was there and then add what we've bought since I got there. Then as long as everything's there, nobody will accuse the new manager of letting things slip away or walking off with tools.
Okay, so this thing, this piece of paper is no good.
We were just comparing because we knew that there were some things that weren't on the list.
All I took was the one that was on the shelf and added the things to it that we bought since I got there.
Okay. What's that inventory list at?
I brought it to the last meeting. It's the one that I handed you with this.
Well, that's to say that like the new chainsaw wasn't on it. Because the Barney chainsaw wasn't on it.
I didn't make the list. I don't know. All I added was the things that we got since I got there, which
was
two tow chains and a steel chainsaw.
But I'm saying the steel chainsaw was not on your list.
Well, add it.
I just
added a page to that book I gave you that said this is what we bought since I've got
here. Where's that page at, Dan?
It's in that black book that I brought.
Well, this is a copy of everything that was in it. Is that the one on the back?
My paper's not on here.
Well,
It was right into the black book so that you could have. But, I mean, it's not important.
You made a copy out of the book before you gave the book to me, didn't you?
I didn't have the book. I just had this.
I didn't have a book.
It's really simple. Just write on the back a steel chainsaw. We haven't added any other significant tools since then, have we?
Air compressor.
Air compressor was there before I had it.
It's not on the slip.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody who knows what those are should add them, or I can make a list of what we have that's there. But you're going to have a major.
That's part of the problem is nobody knows. You know, Taylor knows kind of what was there during his time, but what's happened since.
Right.
I know things that were there 20 years ago, and some of them are still there today.
On this list.
Periodically, a member will come and say, "Where's this thing that was here for 20 years?" Like it, some casserole dish that I guess had history. And I said, "Ma'am, I don't know where that casserole dish is. Someone's run off with my cat. I can't help them. I don't know. I know what's there, and I know that I haven't moved anything off that ranch since I got there."
Okay, the generator that you were asking about is on that list. It is out there. There's
the wheelhouse. Yes, but John Southwick gave us a Briggs & Stratton that should be added to that he donated to the ranch.
Now, that's the one with the one wheel.
Right.
Yes.
That I use.
Yeah.
I knew of that one, but I didn't know.
Is our air compressor still that one that John picked up?
Mm-hmm.
The little blue.
The Hitachi.
That's there. I would be perfectly willing to work with whatever somebody who knows what should be there, you know, look for it, but whatever's there is still there.
We'd probably need to make an inventory list and then have a check off, you know, each year to make sure.
I really have been wondering all year what's going to come up right now is that I need to turn in the information for taxes. And what we have on the ranch is a write-off. And so I need a comprehensive list of everything that's there. The other thing is that we have to pay personal taxes on things like this, chainsaw and all that stuff. And I don't know where the solar system comes in along that, you know. And how many batteries are in it, and if they want to know how many batteries, because I haven't done that yet, but I really
appreciate
need
a lot of this stuff out.
Well, yes. And so, but to do that, yeah, I need a comprehensive inventory of what's out there and what belongs to the ranch to be able to do that, and I don't have that. So,
well, we've talked about
doing
the gutting that whole tool shed, taking it out at the annual meeting, and let people, if they have any claim to any something, take it and then chuck. I mean, there's so much stuff in there.
Yeah.
We have how many Ryobi things that are all rechargeable, and we have no rechargeable for them. Can't use the handsaw, the table. It all goes to a little battery pack, which seems to be missing somewhere. So we have all those tools that can't be used without. We either need to get a battery thing for them, and I'm sure they were donated by a member.
Harbor Freight.
We have stuff in there that people just clean their garage and bring it to us and stick it in there. And I mean, we have things that you're never going to use in a million years that somebody thought they'd be benevolent and give to it. But
to
an inventory, it's going to require a gutting, a listing of what is actually useful to put back, and the rest of that stuff should be. I mean, if it was my shed, if it has no purpose, I'd get rid of it.
We belong to Harbor Freight. I just re-upped our membership, and that's $20. And it's a discount place to get all those kinds of things that we need. And we can probably find a battery pack if you can give me an idea of what it is to order that.
It's one of these great big rubber things that has the saw, the drill, reciprocal saw, and they all run off the same battery thing.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's gone.
The battery chargers.
Yeah. There's no stand or the little battery that goes in. There should be a couple of them.
Should be two of them up there.
Yeah.
No,
there were two of them up there. So
it's
that way.
Well,
those things get misplaced easily, but they're easy to buy.
You get left sitting on a bumper, and about halfway to town, they fall off the bumper.
Well, the tools look nice. I don't think anybody's ever used them because
did you say that the batteries are there for no chargers or no batteries?
There's no stand, charger, batteries, or anything. Only the tools are all there and the little case. I'm going to put it in that case.
So if we can find out if it's a 7.4 or a 9.2 or an
18.
They're
all, all that stuff, and all that Ryobi
stuff
is 18 volt.
The good stuff is 18 volt.
Yeah, it's all 18 volt.
I say we had it all there.
Yeah. Of course, we couldn't find it after Cleveland and Gladys left for quite a while.
I'll tell you something else.
We did. It was up on a shelf.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it was up.
Found
in, yeah.
They were up on the shelf, but then I don't know if they ever got found after Gilly's left.
I think they were there.
One of the things that just before this big storm, we had the rainstorm that came through and it swept sediment to the bottom of that whole exposed shed. That's why we had to pull the chains out with the tractor, because it swept through, covered them with about this much of mud, then it froze. So you can't move the doors, the windows, the pipe, everything that is in that shed, the bottom 6 inches of it is frozen to the ground. So I would suggest if we're going to do this inventory thing, we're going to have to wait until it thaws, because you can't move anything to look behind it in that shed and then out in the tack room area. Some of the cinches and latigos of my saddles that were down that that storm got frozen down. I can't even move some of the saddles. It came rushing through with the rain, and then the next night it froze solid, and it hasn't thawed since. And those are all the shades. They're not going to thaw till whenever. And anyway, I'm not sure how practical it would be to do that before it thaws.
I may need it before it thaws.
I'll get you.
I think we can.
I got it. I'll donate.
Well,
I need the inventory, but
maybe before it thaws. As far as your taxes go, just go off what you had last year and just add that chainsaw.
All the property taxes that were due yesterday. Just add just add on chainsaw, and
what's written on here. That's what you added.
Yeah, that's
the
only thing
you bought.
Might
not have added. Did you add on the lawnmower?
I wouldn't worry about that.
I don't think the lawnmower is on.
I wouldn't worry about the lawnmower.
There's quite a few things out there that are not on our personal.
But if they aren't good and usable, you don't have to have money. Also, if after a certain age, you don't have to have money.
Right.
That lawnmower is.
I think it'd be
a good lawnmower, but it's old. It's basically new engine and stuff. But it's.
My personal opinion is don't put the solar system on it.
I was going to say it's a hard.
But the chainsaw, I just have the chainsaw.
That's not personal property.
The only thing really
the tractors and everything.
It makes any value.
Appreciate that unless you've already done that.
They're
talking the personal property tax now.
Tractors are different.
Well, is there under 35? Because they passed that new law that if it's under 3,500 on all this work, but you don't have to. You still got to sign a deal, but you don't have to pay.
Well, I don't know about that.
Are we over that?
But I wouldn't add anything to the chainsaw. I just turned it in. You know how I had what you had last year? Just add
chainsaw
was
like 800 bucks.
That's basically the only thing, right, Ollie? Yeah. So you bought last year?
Until the state auditor comes out, he'll pick through everything. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, he might not either because, hey, there's so much junk out there. Just like Ollie said, most of that stuff.
Well, I know when he came to my place. That cement mixer isn't on it. That thing's worth it. Give me $10 and you can have it, bud. The motor's gone in it.
If people give it to you, it doesn't matter. Because, I mean,
it
we got
matter.
That generator from John Southwick, which has some value,
but
not donated.
I wouldn't worry about it.
But currently, without a wheel, it doesn't move as well.
If it's not operable, you don't have to include it. But if it's operable and it's under certain years, I can't remember. They have it on there how many years?
The only thing we've got of value that we paid for is a chainsaw.
I would just add the chainsaw on there and turn that thing in. Because the penalty you're paying for.
I still like the comprehensive.
Well, the one thing I can honestly say, and Barbara and I cleaned up that tool room. It was after Kevin and Gladys left, right? We cleaned that thing up and we put everything on the shelves. We hung everything on the wall. We categorized everything where we had petroleum products and plumbing, and we made up boxes with plumbing and electrical and whatever. And that would have been the time to do an inventory. It would have been a really good time to do an inventory because we actually could have done an inventory right then and there.
I don't really think that we need an inventory of everything that's on that ranch.
No.
And most of the stuff, I think you need an inventory of what's working, what's the value, what is the value. You were to say that
something
on that
use.
Like I say, I go down this list, like that's the reason I was concerned, well, this stuff wasn't on here.
because the things of value are not on there, and that's what really needs to be on there. The
most of stuff
value
is,
doesn't matter. That's all
gone.
That needs to be on there.
It's shot.
You know, all those old shovels and all those old chains that's hanging in there and all that old plumbing and electrical parts, I wouldn't worry about inventorying that. What you need is your power tools and your hand tools and things of value. That's all you need to know.
Well, this spring we need to do a cleanup, organized inventory, and then...
You do need to inventory all your plumbing stuff.
But not for this.
You'll have it on hand.
Grab a part, right?
You'll have to run to town to get a ten cent fitting.
In that top rack, you can just look up there and see what kind of pipe you've got, and then all the fittings are in that wooden thing.
Yeah,
but those should be inventory. Those fittings.
Well, not necessarily inventory. You need to know.
Well, you need to go through them and know what's there, because like I say, you're probably going to run to town for a ten cent PVC fitting.
If you don't have 90s or something like that, you should.
One thing's for sure, that place has got to get gutted. And we had, I don't know, 10 cats come in through the shop. Somebody went into the shop to get whatever they get. And I guess the members feel free to go in there because they never ask. I'll find them in there looking around for stuff, and I don't say anything. I mean,
Well, the locks broke off.
The cats went in the store. Tore and ate and scratched. When I went in there, I about got my eyes taken out by cats trying to go out for the light because they've been in there living on. The only thing they didn't eat was the food. Where the store and the shop come together, there's an alleyway.
Yeah.
You shut the one door to
they can't get into the store, they can still get into the tools.
Right. So they get in the tools shop to. Door gets left ajar, they come in the store. Anyway.
Place the half to make it where it's lockable.
I'll have to, but
the tool shed portion.
Well, just even the outside of the store, that's the thing that's broke off.
Well, the one on the, there's, you can lock the tool shed from the store, too.
Right. The
that should be stay locked so that members don't.
And that should not be a member.
That
yeah,
door shut.
Lock. That, if they're getting
not a regular deer spring lock, that should be a... Manager's lock.
They're getting in and getting things
out of
there. Maybe they're getting gas.
Same way that
it
should be a manager's lock on the
gas door. Broke. The wooden door is broke off, and I don't know why they put the hinges on a piece of wood. It wasn't attached, but it dropped. Now that's frozen into the ground. You can't pull that up.
Make a new door on it.
I think that's and just framing a new one. You know, the antiquity's just going to have to go to pieces because the antique part of it is the part that...
Okay.
I chained it over earlier this year. I wired it over to keep it up, but it would sag just enough you couldn't get the lock back on. And now it's frozen.
Antiquity happens at 50 years, and I think that gas tank's more than 50 years.
Oh, well, it's the door. It's a beautiful door
took from something else and put it on there.
The one that Terry will scream if you replace it.
He will. That's the grass out of things. The barn door
yeah.
that Terry likes.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah,
no, they're good.
Yeah, the barn door. Don't do anything to the barn door.
Yeah. Okay, let's move.
Well, one more thing. Do you remember if all the barbecues are there at each cabin and then the tanks and that?
We moved them inside. And I think all the bar. I think. Let's see.
The only request we've had for a barbecue this year that we didn't have quick was the little, what do they call it, Hitachi grill, and we had another one and took it up to them.
Right.
But there is a
barbecue
gas.
Every cabin.
Yeah, there's a barbecue at every cabin because we put them inside when we winterized.
We had members switching tanks around, so I got tanks and filled them and put them down at the laundry. Told them when one empties, just come and switch it.
Yeah.
So that we kept tanks at them, but okay. They were all in good working order.
Yeah.
Have you depreciated those out? So that would be
Yes, because they're 2 years old and that.
Okay, I'm trying to keep up with this notes. The tanks are down at the ranch, filled and down at the ranch.
There's two full tanks at the laundry store. Sometimes somebody needs a new fresh tank.
Some people's paid their assessment already, huh?
Yeah. You've been good. Do you want to move on?
Yeah, let's go ahead and run through a finance real quick.
Okay, we've been getting assessments and that's been going well. We've had reservations also going well. I think we're getting everything in the right category. So I think there are still a couple of questions that I need to talk with you about. Tonight's probably not a good time to do that because of the late hour, but I do have my flash drive if you want to look over what I've done, just in case. I also was hoping, and you, just for those of you that are on the phone, I'm talking to Barbara because she's the one that trained me. I also have these that are late payments or overdue payments from last year that don't show up when I made the assessment bill because of the way I did it. And that was probably my deal. So these are extras that I am going to send out to people. You want to look at those for me?
You mean it didn't show up on the statement that you sent?
When I made the assessment, the general assessment bill, it just showed the assessment. That's
you didn't send out invoices. You just sent out statements.
I sent out invoices.
Yeah, if you send out a statement, it'll show.
It'll show all of us. Well, that's what these are.
Statement.
Yeah.
A statement or
an it should be a statement because I don't know. It's not. That's a statement. And I didn't put it in with the original assessment. So.
Are the statements not so?
Say it again?
They are
statements.
Past due
amounts from last year and those that are over that, this is this stack. And there's three there that we need to take action on. And so and this one is one that was sold to
somebody else without going through the proper process.
Did it sell?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
No, it's written up at the county in
this name.
In this guy's name.
So Ace still is on the county record?
Yes.
Really? That's interesting. Because see.
And the last time we talked about it.
I may have done it on a contract to sell or something.
Yeah, well, the last time we talked about it, Bob Becker was going to talk to the new owner.
Right.
Explain all that, and so.
Well, I wondered if it went through or not because the new buyer was kind of belly aching and saying, "Well, I didn't know about this,"
right.
And we kind of said,
right.
"Well."
Last time I checked, which I think was in October, he's still the owner. Yeah, and I haven't gotten anything from the title company on a few of the buys that have gone out there, which is unusual. They always call me to find out. So
unless the buyers are not doing anything through a title.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not exempt them from.
So, for my peace of mind, will you look these over, see if and I did all right, pat me on the back or scold me, whichever way.
Larry,
thank you.
You were discussing sale of what? Lot number?
If a lot sells,
this
particular lot, Ace Halstead's lot, sold evidently or was going to sell last year, and the new buyer. Was kind of griping that he didn't know that there were
$2,000
back assessments due, and he didn't want to pay him. And I don't know if Bob Becker is kind of a neighbor of that lot, and so he was going to talk. He knew the guy that was buying it, and he was going to talk to him and just basically say, you know, it's your responsibility, and if you want to go back against the seller. Anyway,
okay.
I wasn't sure that the sale ever went through.
Title companies can pay for it because it's part of their deal.
Yeah.
The title insurance didn't catch it.
Yeah.
But
and he didn't.
But if we didn't have a lien on it, then we're.
Yeah. We have liens on the insurance.
There's a lien on that particular.
And then we're safe.
Yeah.
So that's the purpose reason we started leaning because that was happening all the time. People. Sell their lot without us having, you know, their things having any claim to them.
So three of those are second, 2 year or more delinquent?
Yeah, yeah. The others are just 1 year.
1 year.
Mm-hmm. Didn't pay last year's assessment. And or other costs.
So we need to get onto them here pretty quick then.
Well, that's what the letter said. Yeah. But I wanted her to look at them. It's just like, I'm so nervous. This is like going before the principal.
Hey, what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'd be pretty scared by myself.
Well, we're talking about assessments. You had a letter or a note from Dan Ortolani.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Bellyache not wanting to pay last year's or this new year's assessment.
There you go. That's Dan.
Read it out loud, Larry. I'll help you with the big words.
Any guys listeners yet?
Okay, so this is for 2008. Is it?
I made the number. Oh,
yeah,
why
this
wouldn't
year.
You?
Yeah. Oh, he even wrote it to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, then read it.
It didn't say it on the outside, so I opened it.
Yeah. I don't know if I read his handwriting.
I'm standing by for the big
words. I don't know. Dan's pretty smart. All of us probably won't be able to figure
that out. Dear Larry, I'm writing this note to you and the board regarding my 2008 membership fees. I am requesting to have my 2008 fees waived due to the damage done to my property, lot 164, by the resident goat herd. You are fully aware of the status, but I will list the damages and... Okay, that's a big word, Brent.
And point.
And point.
Yeah.
Form as a review.
Yeah.
I can't. Number one, the bank in front of the cabin was seeded and was two-thirds covered, completely bare and eroded at this time due of goat overgrazing and daily residents throughout the season. Number two, the storage shed has had to be cleaned and disinfected twice due to dead goats inside. Wild flower grass seed in metal trash barrel was opened and partially consumed by the dying goats. Constant goat droppings on the back porch and waste in the sliding glass door windows. While arranging for the sale of the cabin, the property backed out due to a number of concerns, one of which was 24 goats, some dead, living under the front porch. Thank you for your consideration of this request. Sincerely, Dan O'Loughlin.
2007 or 2008?
2008 assessment.
The one I just sent him.
Yeah. So,
anybody want my feedback on that subject? As soon as Orlani's got there this year, they came and requested, could we have the goats up on our herd or on our property to take care of our underbrush and whatnot? I said, we haven't really gone to any specific property. I said, when we get to that point, we'll talk about it. They brought members in, or friends, clients, whatever they have, these people that come to stay with them. And came down and reported how happy they were to have been feeding crackers and treats to the goats up their property. I said, please do not feed the goats up at your property or they'll think that's their home. They got a little bunch of goats that kept coming to their house and they feed them and they were cute while they were playing with babies, but when they leave, they think that somebody's going to come out the door any minute. The goat that he locked in his tool shed, I feel like the one that should be compensated for my dead goats. He went to leave and there was goats in the shed, which they had attracted like feeding bears at Yellowstone, and he locked the door on them, and they died in there because they didn't have any food or water. I went up and cleaned the dead goat out of there, and I thought, you know, who locks? It's only a 10 by 10 shed. How hard is it to look in and see you have goats? Anyway, I would herd the goats out of there regularly, but when they come, it was part of their attraction. They don't realize when they leave, the goats expect them to still be there. We were still taking goats out of there what time of year this year? The winter, when I took all the other goats down, the little friends that they had made went right back up to live at their place. We cleaned off the porch. We cleaned out the goats. We chased them down on foot and hauled them out of there. Hopefully they won't remember it, but next year I have to take all the goats clear to Slide Canyon and be out of their world. But how do you fix that situation if they weren't, they wouldn't have gone there unless somebody had invited them there and all the other goats didn't, but. See, the goats came through my place and they didn't, they came through, they ate what was available and they left. But I wasn't out there chumming them.
Right, and I asked them,
and they never came in. They never came back.
The French group that was there with them, the lady and I had a long talk about it. I said, please don't give them goodies. She was talking about bringing them up on the porch and feeding them crackers and sitting and petting them, and I said, that's just going to create a problem that's going to be hard to deal with. And none of the bigger goats, it was those little ones that I bought from a man who had given them treats. They learned that's where the treat was to go, and those were the ones that wouldn't come down.
What's the likelihood that if you said the very same thing to him that you've told us, that he'd accept that and pay his assessment?
Well, he knows. I mean, we've talked. He originally came and says, I'd like to get him on there to clean my area up. And a lot of members have said, bring him out to my place, bring him out to my place. And I'm not really set up to go and sit on him and hold him on one particular lot. The reason they went to the Ortolanis is they were treated like kings there. And, it's the only house up there. And they keep thinking someone's going to come to the door and feed him. I ran them out and ran them out and ran them out. But, I mean, next year I just have to keep them completely away from there. I hope they'll forget it. But,
Does he have more damage than the assessment?
I never saw anything growing on that bank that he claims was covered. I mean, it's a dirt bank, and the bank behind it is dirt. There's a lot of places on the ranch this year that had no water all year long, and they all got. I mean, down at the ranch house where there wasn't anything is bare, but I don't know what it looked like before. I don't know what before and after.
Just offer him to split the difference when
the
ranch could absorb that.
Grandma Delaney ran over the ranch gate, totaled it out. Never paid a penny to fix that gate. Never paid it still, and that gate that's broken all the pieces at the head of the river at the Royal Leap stuff because he ran straight through it. He busted up that fence right there and everything. He never paid a penny for that.
We talked already about the fact that he let the forest gate open again and again, and I asked him not to, and again, every time the cows and horses went up there, I had to go chase them out. As far as, like I said, that issue, that's the highest maintenance outfit that I've messed with since I came to this place. It's surprising to me.
Why don't we tell them
we're being...
Every time we figure we're even...
Well, that's the hazards of being out there.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing as far as livestock goes, whether it's goats, cows, horses,
you have to close
they're...
It's a little bit different with goats, so on your fence in and fence out. I mean...
Not really, the laws are off.
No, I think if you dig right into it, you'll find it to be a different situation on...
But on an open range?
No, it'll be different.
It probably will be different.
But he still was asking for the. I mean, he didn't help the situation by feeding it. Just like feeding a stray dog or stray cat. You feed it a couple times, it's yours.
And I told the French lady, she was just gleeful, had a million pictures, and she was showing them to me at the horseback ride of them feeding them right up into the lawn chairs there in front on the porch. And they're these miniature goats. They're useless goats. I got them from a fellow. They were pets, and they've been a pain to keep in anywhere. But I just looked at those, and I dreaded. I thought, I know exactly what's going to happen. But she was having a good time. And at the time, they were thrilled to have them and talked about, how nice it is to have them around. But
the French or Ortolani?
The Ortolanis at the time. We played with the goats and saw the goats. Then towards the end of the season, I wonder if you could... hustle those goats out of there, and I kept the goats out as best I could, but the little friends goats that went back up, Larry went up with me to get them. They're a group of little lovers.
Aren't those the Fredonia goats?
Yes. We got them from a guy in Fredonia. Had a name for every one. It was the worst thing I ever did. But what do you do? I can't, if they're feeding them there, I can't change the mind of the goat. And next year they won't be anywhere around there. We cleaned up the back, and when the spring comes, if there's any other sign, I'll go back and double duty clean it up. The one he locked in the shed, I mean, he locked it in there and it died. Or whoever was taking care of his place, because the shed was locked and barricaded and the goat was inside. So obviously the goat didn't go in there on its own.
Yeah.
Didn't lock itself in. And I cleaned that one up. So I'm happy to clean up any damages that were done, but they're going to have to bear a little bit of responsibility because they left the gates open 24/7 while they were there, and then they chummed the little rascals. And so,
well, what as a board, what do we want to do? What's our response to the assessments?
I think we just call it even with them for the gate expenses and stuff, and say, hey, we'll try to do better this coming year. situation.
Mm-hmm. We'll try to do better, pay your assessment.
But then you need to pay your assessment.
Just right
because
on there.
Because of the gate damage that he did?
I wouldn't necessarily hear that. If he get
huffy,
then I say, well, we got some expenses.
Whether members are likable or dislikable or whatever, everybody at the ranch is there, and from time to time they need help. They rely on other people, and I don't mind saying Dan and Art have had help from Brent, from me, from many other ranch people, time after time after time. And no.
Well, if you word a letter containing some of the conversation that we've had here, I think you can take it. And then if you want to...
I don't mind calling Dan and just saying, hey, you know, we understand that you feel that you're out, but some of that responsibility you've got to accept because of you or your guests, whoever, and...
Maybe a compromise is in order if you have the conversation, but if you have the conversation and he accepts it, it says under protest he'll pay it, but... Pay it. Otherwise, go ahead and feel free to negotiate.
I have.
I think that'd be reasonable.
Also, tell him when summer comes and it thaws up there, I'll be more than happy to come up and take away any sign that the goats were there, and buy him some more wildflower seed for his embankment there. He really shouldn't take that out of the ranch. He talked to me on a regular basis about him. He always seemed to be very positive about liking the goats up there, but I know towards the end, his sale of his place, the people couldn't get financing on it.
I know they backed out on him, and it wasn't, the goats were not the cause of the back out. They might have been one irritation or one aggravation among.
But that wasn't the reason.
I knew that was. I knew it was a financing issue, but I imagine in his disappointment, you know, he'd like to throw the blame this way and that. But tell him, I'll be happy to make sure, and next year we're going to go a whole different direction with the goats anyway, and hope he's happier.
Okay, I will. If you will, I'll go call him. There's no need to send this back to him.
You want to take the letter, and I'll just keep.
Larry, do you want to talk to him?
I just put it in the file. I'll call him.
Okay.
You could talk to him also.
If you want, I'll talk to Dan.
I won't. He's going to sue me three or four different times.
I have
over,
a lot.
Over the same type of issues, you know.
I'm okay with that.
I have a lot down near the ranch house. I've personally hand-placed beautiful rocks to make a patio outside of our little place that we go out and visit and around all of there. And I've personally gone in and chopped down branches and things so that we have open area. And I've personally gone in there and shoveled things. They all go four-wheeling, and that's what I like to do. I've made it nice. The cows come in and like it too, you know. And so I go back and rearrange everything, and the cows like to get up against our little shed there and scratch on it.
The cows took residency at the Racines.
Yeah, well, it's the same ones.
Yeah.
Because they're right next door. Yeah. So they like it, and so in spring I go in and fix it. But I don't expect the ranch to do that. I don't expect you guys to come out and do that.
Part of having livestock.
Exactly. It's open range.
They don't really read the memo.
That's part of being out there.
You don't want them there. You need to, you know, put it.
Even though I personally did it by hand. And
well, I think definitely I can say this from a board standpoint, from ranch member standpoint, probably from Ollie's standpoint, that the goats have been a learning experience this year, and we will definitely do a little different next year, maybe a lot different next year on goats. On
just the interaction with
what
people.
And where and how. And
they run over them and feed them, and Girl Scouts take my herding dogs and turn them into pets, and there's ranch interaction with the public. It could be a little bit. I think
they ran over to your goats too.
Yeah, just run right over them. They were in a hurry, or maybe they didn't see them. But
maybe it's those hunters
washed right in the road.
Where are your goats at now?
They're up by Larry Meltzer's and by the enclosure at the tank.
Yeah, and see that's
in
the funny.
No, they don't go very far.
See, that's the funny part. See, Larry. They move through Larry's place all the time.
Daily basis.
Yeah.
I asked Larry, I said, are they bugging you, you know, because they're pretty close? He says, no. They come and they say hello and they go by. They really won't stay unless you give them treats. They really identify where they're fed. I feed them in a spot and they're there every night to meet me. I put them in their enclosure and in the morning they go out. But you feed them in a spot. That's why I have to keep them away from the headquarters. I don't want them thinking of the headquarters as food. The cows are enough trouble. I can't imagine if I had the goats every day, but they come down periodically, and I set the dog on them and rush them out of there.
But if you don't feed them, they'll go to where they're most comfy. They're content to be out by themselves, but feeding them crackers and cooing at them, they'll stay there forever.
Okay.
I don't think I have anything else, except I do have two comments on the ranch house.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, it's probably not the place to read them because I think Vance has them and I've sent him an email on them. So that's the only other thing I have. As far as finances go, though, am I wrong? Isn't now the time we should be ordering fish, putting them on order for the summer?
You can order them, but they can't put them in for
anything. No, I know they can't put them in, but...
We need
to get an order.
Order in because they'll be gone.
Exactly. That's what we need to do. That.
Okay. Now you had sent an email that the state had approved us for.
We are approved.
Different kinds of fish.
Yes. And Barbara was saying that we need to be sure not to put the bass.
Well,
and
yeah.
The
if you they'll eat each other.
But we can put the bass in the third pond, the lowest pond.
Well, somehow or another they've done that before, and somehow they've ended up in the upper pond.
I think they never catch them,
and then they move them back and forth. So
maybe we don't.
Oh,
want
the bass.
I don't think you want them.
Skip the bass until we can get it. We used to have a pond, different locations, and you could put bass there, but you don't ever want to put bass anywhere near the trout pond.
Yeah,
they will be in the trout ponds, and they will be everywhere.
He was dead set against bass because he knows what they'll do. And I talked to the wildlife guy, and they said, if you want trout pond, don't even get bass anywhere near it. Otherwise, you'll ruin the trout pond because you'll never get near it.
Okay.
But this is the thing you can do. Instead of getting rainbows, you should be looking at browns or some of those cross breeds that don't get the whirly birds.
Yeah, the tiger trout.
Yeah, because we've had that before.
Yeah, I would go with the tiger or the browns because they don't get the whirlies as much. And
they're fantastic fish to catch, too, and they're real hardy.
And you have to get your order in really early because they sold out just like that. Every year they sell out just like that.
Is there a more expensive, better or worse to order from?
Well,
I would call different ones because it depends. Like, they get, you know, each one has different...
That fellow that does the McDonald pond there at Alta last year was $3, and they wanted 4.5 from the guy that we had bought from before. And I want to say Tim, but I don't think that's his name, McDonald. He's from Kanab.
Dennis
McDonald.
Yeah.
He said he got them for $3, and he got good ones. He stocks every year, so I was thinking maybe we should find out.
Well, and there's about four different places. It's easy to find out. The Fish and Game will tell you. Right on their website, they'll tell you who's got fish.
The other thing we've got to consider is somebody closer because the guy we bought from before is a nice fellow, but he's in Richfield. He said he lost a lot of fish on the truck because it's so far and that road's so bumpy. So the closer,
I don't think anybody closer.
Monroe.
Because he weighs them when he puts them on.
Yeah.
And then if you have a lot of dead, he'll come back out.
The year he was doing it for us, we didn't have one single dead one. After
he delivered them?
Yeah. Unbelievable. And then the next time there was a whole bunch of dead ones in one pond, and the rest of them remember that. And it's really weird. So
maybe it was just the heat of the day? Or
that's what I think. I don't think it has much.
Do you remember what time? Because he said he put them in at two different times of year. What the first time he ordered them, what time of year did
he? Well, it seemed like he had a double shipment that time. I got to us late, too.
It doesn't have a lot to do with how far you haul it, the way the conditions are.
How hot it is,
how the water is.
This year should be a real good year for trout because we've had a lot of water and there will be a lot of bugs.
And that was the year they didn't die, was the year when we had all the water.
The old coral
fire. Yep.
Just while I'm thinking of it, this is kind of off the fish subject, but by cleaning out that culvert, so we're going to have 100% water going in those ponds. We need to watch that as the spring thaw starts. We can really overflow those ponds quick.
That's the reason that thing was put in front of there.
So we need to...
What do you mean overflow?
Too much volume going through them.
Yeah, we'll flood out the dikes. We need to let it bypass.
Oh, right.
So that upper culvert that we cleaned off, we need to take a 5-gallon bucket and put over that with a small hole in it that will only... You know, you can control the amount of flow.
Our diversions clean enough?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, during runoff, it's going to be blowing
down. The runoff, I understand. But
some of the things we did, we diverted water that's been coming down the sides of the road into each of the ponds. So we're going to collect more water than we ever have before.
How much of that goes to Red Reservoir first, though?
No. This stuff he's talking about is off the road.
Not separate. Just the stuff coming.
Just coming down the road and coming down.
Because last year looking at Red Reservoir, I don't know what the condition of that.
You don't collect any.
It doesn't work.
Well, yeah. Red Reservoir, you just don't. It's not consideration at all for water.
Yeah. It's too bad because that
there's
catches all your
there's
pipes.
There's a hole in there that's a magical hole.
Bill should do that.
Reservoir on the west, on the east side of it, maybe.
Yeah.
You're not there's a hole in there. It's been plugged 2 or 3 times. And
you can see there's inside of the dike, there's a big cave in. You can.
It was completely dug out.
Twice. Mark did it. Alan did it.
I dug the hole out. Found the hole.
Promised it wouldn't do that.
Did anyway. Maybe you have groundwater that opens itself down in there because there's springs all along.
Well, we had water coming out of that bank. You know what? How Alan trenched across? Mm-hmm. The water wasn't coming from this way. It was on this side.
Yeah. Just through, and that's what opened it up?
Possibly. Who knows? But
you don't want to make any effort to reclaim Red.
No, we haven't got the money.
We'd love to.
It'll take, because you
could back up and take what's in the
$10,000 project anyway.
At least, I would guesstimate it's at least $10,000.
Yeah. We hit the lottery. We'll pile it in there, but
in the meantime, we got to watch.
If you're bulldozer.
In the meantime, we need to watch the 3 trout ponds.
It'll work.
There's actually 3 trout
your
ponds.
Bulldozer,
there's
idea.
A small 4th pond.
Job security there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd be working. I'd be
water down the meadow, come over through that diversion.
Day shift.
And that's what you're talking about doing. Linda, you know the little culvert you go over just as you start up the hill to go to the right there? That's the diversion.
Right.
You're going to have to do something with that drainage right by the road coming into the ranch this year, whether you like it or not. Because that's going to take your road this spring if you have a
tunnel. Where that water that you just got in the top.
It's been climbing. It's just in 1 year that I've been there, it was by that last post of the old feeder. And it's 16 feet back from there now. We haven't had that many storms. I know this spring that thing's going to go from here. And if it goes that way, it's all right. But it looks like it's coming this way. And if it does,
no matter where it goes, that's damage. No matter.
Yeah.
It's better to fix the washout than to try to put the pond back.
And we can't do that. Somebody else needs to.
No, we just go up there and like, hey, there's a culvert there.
It had a head gate on it.
Just taking a backhoe in there and digging it out of where behind it and throwing it to make a dike there to send it at least the other direction would way be worth it. Because if it gets into that road-based road you have.
Oh, you're talking about down by the Kent Ranch.
Right,
down
coming in. I mean, that's the most eminent one on the whole ranch.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, just the board knows too. This one and this one already have lanes on them. You might want to update the mount or something.
Yeah, that's what.
This is the only one that doesn't have a lane.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the only one you need to do.
And should I do that before I send them?
I would give them to the end of this month because it's due by February 28th, March 1st. And I would tell him if not, it's going to happen. You know? I can guarantee you, Dale and I both tried to collect on these two. And you're not going to collect on these two. In fact, you can't even find these guys. Yeah.
Which one is that?
Well,
okay.
Dad tried, so did I. And the other one's the same situation.
Ooh.
So I'm just
not
thinking,
in service. That's one of those that
exactly. You won't find these guys. So just basically you're wasting your
time. Where's the tax
filing it? And then if it happens to sell, hopefully we can collect it then. And make sure that they take it out of the dispute. The powder company's aware.
Yeah.
Richardson over there by any chance?
But
the assessors
she hung up on her. She owes money from one girl, but not two.
Okay. The county assessor should have an updated address.
Somebody's no, paying the tax. County assessor
on this one at least said if you
find out would you let us know because we'll need to come back to that. But that was 2 years ago
now. Yeah. You can try, but I'm guessing that this one, who knows where
it's going.
He's deliberately at some point, the county will eventually sheriff sale it, or we will foreclose on the.
And we should have a lien so that we get our lien. It never comes back to you, but they just never. They don't ever do anything. But those others under your hand, I can mail those, no problem. Okay. Did I pass?
You did.
Okay, right. Good.
Do you have to send the one certified then?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.